Blog Talk Radio.
Rumor spreading round in that Texas town about the shack outside the game. And you know what I'm talking about. Just let me know if you wanna go to that home out on the range. They got a lot of nice girls. I'm right there.
Hey everybody, welcome to Drive Through HR. Brian, William, and Nisha coming to you live every day talking with the folks that pretty much love HR. So let's get to a longtime friend and friend of the show. Lars, welcome back to Drive Through HR.
Hey, Brian and Nisha. It's good to be back, and thank you for having me.
Well, let's kick it off, because I know you got some really interesting things that you're going to share today, so maybe even life-changing for some. So you would introduce yourself to our lovely listeners, and we'll roll from there.
Yeah, well, my name is Lars Schmidt. I am the founder of Amplify Talent, a new entrepreneur, formerly the head of recruiting innovation at NPR for the past 3 years, and pretty much have spent my career in corporate recruiting roles before that. Spent about 7 years running global recruiting at Ticketmaster, and then worked for several startups out in Los Angeles as well. Now I've kind of taken the step to join Brian and many of the other people on our network to actually try to build a business in a space that we are passionate about. So, it's been great. Been great so far. Still very early, but learning a lot and enjoying it so far.
Well, that's dude. I'm happy to have you on the entrepreneurial side with lots of folks in the space. You definitely know your stuff. Been so impressed with just the things you've been able to accomplish and some pretty large organizations. And so it's you're an innovator, which is awesome to have. Step over into the dark side and be an entrepreneur and an innovator. So it's great. So what's keeping you up at night? These days, top of mind with HR?
Let's see. God, I think I probably have a longer laundry list these days about what's keeping me up at night. I think when you're starting a business, you have all of the things that I would be thinking about when I was a practitioner on the inside, specifically around things around the intersections of employer branding and social media and marketing and, you know, how that is changing the way that organizations can recruit and can attract talent and connect with prospects. And, you know, all those things that, you know, I was thinking about when I was at NPR, I'm continuing to think about, but I'm thinking about them for my clients and kind of how I can bring some of those, you know, trends, tools, technology, whatever, to address some of their needs. And, you know, my primary client right now is SpaceX out in Los Angeles. So I'm doing a lot of work with them thinking about all of those things. But I think when you're also running a business, you know, you have those kind of functional things that you're thinking about and keep you up at night, but you have this whole other beast of, okay, now you've got a business and you've got to be thinking about, you know, business development and pipelines and marketing and partnerships, and it really, I think, you know, broadens the, you know, the sphere of all the things that that you have to be thinking about, which is great on the one side. I mean, I'm learning a lot doing it, but on the other side, there's a lot more to keep you up at night, because, you know, ultimately your business will succeed or not based on how well you're able to figure some of those things out, and that for any new entrepreneur, I think, you know, finding that rhythm, you know, finding the right groove of focusing your efforts and your energies towards your clients while also making sure you've got some capacity and bandwidth to be thinking about the business and growing the business is a challenge I imagine, people will face in any industry, but that's probably the big thing that's been keeping me up.
Well, tell us a little bit, since you're coming from a lot of years and include how many that was as a practitioner over to supporting the practitioner, kind of tell us about that transition. That I always love to hear the story, right, the backstory. So.
Yeah, well, I spent 15 years as a practitioner before, moving over to the client side. And I think the advantage that gives me, probably to a degree, it's recency, right? I mean, I've been in the shoes of many of my clients not very long ago. So I understand some of the unique challenges that, recruiting and talent leaders face, and even HR organizations face, when trying to compete, for talent. And I also understand, I think, what, the recency piece helps me here as well is, I've worked with a lot of vendors over my career as a practitioner, and I've certainly, there's a pretty steep difference between the good ones and the mediocre ones. And I think even when it comes to approach and how to secure that business and how to engage potential clients and reach out and basically, present yourself and your services, having so recently been in that seat, I think I take with me some of the things, clients that we worked with that had a really good approach that I liked and I responded to. And, on the other side of that, understanding kind of approaches that clients took that really were a bit of a turnoff and ultimately didn't lead the business. Having come so recently from that space, I'm able to really think about those things when I'm approaching potential clients. So that part definitely helps. But I think, again, making that transition, it was about 15 years. And in that 15 years, I did a couple consulting engagements over that time, which isn't quite the same as starting a business, but you're still somewhat of that third party.
Wonderful. Well, before we get more into, recruitment and employer branding, I want to ask one interesting question for you. Why Amplify Talent? How did you come up with this interesting name?
I'll tell you what, naming a company is insanely hard. I don't have children yet, so I haven't. I imagine naming a child is extremely hard. I've named a dog; that was extremely hard. But naming a company, I think what I wanted to do, I had a few different ideas in my mind. I think like anything else, you start with a list. You write down the things that you like. You narrow that down to a smaller subset of names that you feel really kind of capture the spirit of what your business is going to do. And then what you also do is you spend some time on, register.com and sites like Knowem to see if the social media and web addresses for the property, for the name that you want, are available. And so, I kind of went through all of that. And ultimately, I landed on Amplify Talent because, A, all the web properties were there, so I was able to secure all the social, footprint for Amplify Talent. But I think also Amplify to me is it's an emotive word. It's an action-oriented word. And I think Amplify, so part of the business, we really focus on three main things, employer branding, strategy, and consulting with clients, recruiting optimization, so helping corporate recruiting teams, essentially level up and upgrade their recruiting efforts, whether it's technology, whether it's training, whether it's, practices and procedures, and then also doing contingent recruiting. And I think all three of those things tie back to amplification. And when you've got the right kind of process, technology, people approach in place, you can essentially amplify your efforts. And, amplification isn't just about more resources and dollars and people. It's about doing things smarter. And so for me, I think that really tied well into how I saw the business developing and growing.
Well, thank you so much for sharing that with us. In fact, this is a wonderful story that everybody wants to hear. The name can be simple, but the thought that goes into naming a company or naming a brand, which is so huge. And in fact, you talked about, a little bit about competing for talent. So we want to hear a little bit about what could be some of the innovations that can be done in recruitment in order to, you know, attract the talent? I mean, forget the case of competing the talent, but how do we attract the talent?
You know, I think talent attraction is really about how you convey your brand to the outside world. And when I say brand, I don't just mean consumer brand, I mean employer brand. And really that comes down to the employees. What is your culture like? What is your workforce like? What are the experiences that your employees have on a day-to-day basis? And then how are you actually conveying that in the outside world? You know, I think a lot of people hear employer branding and they get so fixated on social media. And, you know, social media certainly is one of the tools within employer branding, but it's just that. It's a tool. It's not the sole method of employer branding. And I think you have to look at things like candidate experience. You have to look at even, you know, older school things like job descriptions and, you know, components that you have, recruitment marketing materials that you have that aren't necessarily purely social, and really think about how you're presenting your organization and your culture and your people to the outside world, because ultimately, you know, people aren't drawn to a sexy billboard or a, you know, or a great job description alone, or even a great brand alone. They're drawn to the people that they're going to be working with and their peers. And, you know, if you find ways with employer branding to really, you know, highlight some of your employees and give prospects a sense of, you know, the kind of people, the caliber of people, the you know, the culture and the DNA of the staff that you have, that's going to allow them to, you know, really, you know, in a more educated way, either self-select in or out of the process. You know, and so I think that's a piece of employer branding that a lot of people don't talk about is, as much as it is there to, you know, drive talent attraction, you know, I think a well-orchestrated employer brand will also repel the people that will actually not fit well in your organization. They'll see what your organization is about. They'll see what the, you know, the culture is about. And maybe it's too quirky for them. Who knows? Who knows what the reason is? But for whatever reason, you know, because you've done such a good job of presenting what your culture is to the outside world, some people will see that and they'll be able to say, you know what, that's probably not for me. And that's a good thing because, again, you don't want to take up extra time of your recruiting team and even your staff to, you know, if you have candidates that, based on the very clear indication of what your organization's culture is, say that's not for me, you know, better to, for them to opt out before they've really even gone in and applied and opted in to begin with.
Well, let's kind of jump a little more, a little deeper into talent acquisition, specifically for our practitioner audience. What are some of the trends? I mean, now that you're building a business around this and you have a very focused other perspective on it, and trying now that you have clients that you are actually like external clients that you're delivering on and working up and creating, what are some talent acquisition trends that you can share with everybody that are happening in 14?
You know, I think, you know, certainly we've been talking about employer branding. I mean, I don't know if at this stage that's really considered a trend, but I think it's pretty, and this is a good thing, I think it's pretty well accepted that employer branding is an important component of talent acquisition and recruiting. And so I think that, you know, even 2 years ago when we were having some of these conversations, there are a lot of people that would say, oh, I don't get it. Do we really need it? Is it important? I'm not hearing that anymore. I think people do get it, and they see it, and they realize that it's important. I think a trend that we'll continue to see more of is really how big data can influence talent acquisition strategies and decisions. And, you know, I know big data is a buzzword. I try to avoid buzzwords. So let's just say data, data-based decision-making. I think HR as a whole, this isn't just talent acquisition, we're a little behind the curve when it comes to really being smart about how we utilize data to kind of run the people operations of our organizations. And I think from a recruiting perspective, you know, there's a lot of interesting tools out there. At TalentNet at South by Southwest, we actually had a presentation by Brad Warga from Guild. You know, Guild is in a similar space to TalentBin. There's a few other companies that do that. But in particular for technology talent, they have a really interesting product that can actually go through, you know, scour pretty much, you know, all of the data points beyond just social media, things like GitHub, Stack Overflow, et cetera, that are available online and actually stack rank, you know, candidates and prospects based on their background. And I think it's a really interesting technology, and they're looking for ways to actually apply that outside of just technologists, you know, where you can do that for, you know, marketers or other fields and disciplines. And I think as those tools start to, you know, mature, that's going to be a huge resource and a huge trend for recruiters, because it's going to allow us to get a lot smarter about who we're going after and who we're targeting from a recruiting perspective.
Well, and I'm a huge, by the way, I'm a huge Brad fan and a huge Gil fan. That's awesome. They've got so many great stories, and I love that. I love the technology and the thought process around it. So good, great shout out. Brad's been on the show a few times. And great segue, by the way. So give us a little bit of your lens and a download on South by Southwest, even what South by is for our listeners.
So for those of you that aren't familiar with South by Southwest, it is a conference and really festival that takes place over the course of about a week and a half in Austin, Texas, every year. It started as a music festival, so it's been going on, I think, for over 20 years as a music festival, and over the last, I don't know when this started, maybe 8-ish years ago, they started an interactive component, which is basically, you know, the interactive piece, and that's the piece that I've attended for the last 3 years. It's a collection of speakers in a variety of topics. So it's part kind of conference where you've got lots of sessions, you know, an overwhelming amount of sessions. You've got thousands of sessions to choose from over the course of the 4 days. And then events and parties, and a lot of companies will come there and debut their new product. So I think Foursquare kicked off there a couple of years ago. There's a lot of, you know, kind of big name organizations in tech got their start there, especially some of the recent ones. And it's a zoo. It's a carnival. You go there. The last couple of years, Craig Fisher has held one of his TalentNet recruiting conferences there each Friday to kind of kick off the event. This year they did that, a collaboration with DICE as well. DICE collaborated with True, Bill Borman's unconference, and so it was kind of a back-to-back session. So a lot of recruiters will go and go there for those sessions, and then stay for the events and the parties. But, you know, it's manic. It's nonstop. There are events every day and every night. A lot of people don't even get badges. They'll just go and go for the networking and the parties. You know, the sessions are interesting. I think this year I went to the Edward Snowden Skype interview, which was pretty interesting. And there were a few other sessions that were fairly interesting. But I think the biggest value for me is really the networking, you know, going and making connections. And I think for, you know, this is obviously an HR show with an HR audience. I think to me one of the biggest values of South By is that you are immersed in all different kinds of individuals and backgrounds. So you're hanging out with marketers and designers and UX people and biz dev people and, you know, certainly some HR and recruiting people, but it's an opportunity to really kind of get out of your peer network a little bit and really, you know, interact with some really smart people in different fields. So I would recommend it. I mean, it seems like a lot of people who have been going for a while are saying that interactive is jumping the shark a little bit. It's less about the tech, more about the schmoozing and networking, which, you know, I haven't been going long enough to have much of a perspective on that, but I find value in going, and again, to me, that networking and that getting, you know, being able to kind of interact with a lot of people outside of your core function still is quite valuable to me.
Well, I've never been to South By. It's on the list someday to go, and it just hasn't worked out on the, you know, on the digital side or the music side. But so how would you say that would be, like, if you're a practitioner out there and you just are like, God, okay, how can I really push the limits, push the bounds, get out of the box, whatever you want to say, and go to something that can just kind of open my mind up to the possibilities? How do you position South By, right? Because it is an investment. It is, I mean, it's kind of an epic deal, right, to go.
Yep.
So how would you pitch it to practitioners out there that just want to kind of jump in with both feet?
So, yeah, I mean, I think for practitioners, obviously, you're going to be looking for your organization, hopefully, to sponsor you going, because it's not cheap. I think tickets, if you go to Interactive, or depending how early you get them, anywhere between $800 and $1,000, and, you know, you've got hotels and everything else on top of that. I think the biggest, you know, ROI to present to them is just the fact that you've got, you know, and again, part of it is it depends on your role and what you do, and if you're a recruiter, you know, who you recruit. If you recruit nothing but welders, you know, it may be hard for you to present that case and get the buy-in. But if you're in roles where, you know, I think you are either recruiting a diverse mix of talent, or even if you're an HR practitioner, you know, you want to go there. They definitely have some sessions that are HR and people focused. So what I would do is I would go through one of the, you know, just go through this year's lineup, and you could do that online, and just pull out some of the HR and/or people-focused sessions so that you can present those to whoever it is that will need authorized. And just be like, these are some of the sessions that will be there. But I think also just present to them that from a networking standpoint, it'll really get you immersed in a new audience that you might not have the opportunity to at typical HR conferences. And also you'll be able to get a better sense that, you know, there are fewer places other than South By, where you can really get a sense of kind of what are some of the latest trends in technology. And I think a lot of those pieces as it relates to technology carry over and can be applied to a practitioner's role. So not that you're going to go out and try to use, you know, Social Radar, this new location-based app that kind of debuted there, and say, oh, I'm going to use this to make our workplace better. But there are tools and technologies that you can find there that I think, you know, will, you know, are things that you could bring back to your organization. So, but again, I think the most immediate, you know, hearing I'm going there because it'll be great for networking, probably not going to get a lot of people to open their checkbook. But if you do go back through and look at, you know, past year sessions and find some, you know, HR and or people specific sessions and be able to present those and be like, these are the kind of sessions that, you know, I really feel that me having some more, you know, education in will be valuable for me and allow me to bring back some of those learnings back to our organization, that's probably a good starting point.
I think Nisha can't hear us, so she does not have next question. So, Lars, thank you for good download on that. Like you said, it's an investment, huge. I haven't made it yet, so kind of to switch things around. I've been asking the question lately: what is your definition of innovation?
My definition of innovation, that's a good question. You know, I think my definition of innovation would probably be tied to, and again, you didn't prep me for this, so I'm not going to have a very succinct answer. I'll have a long and meandering answer because I'm speaking as I'm thinking this through. But I think it's tied to risk-taking. You know, I think any organization that is known as, you know, an innovative organization, they're comfortable with the degree of risk and taking risks. And ultimately, any bit of innovation tends to come because you're trying something that hasn't been done before. And, you know, that by its own nature is risk. And so, you know, I think when you're looking for innovation within organizations or individuals, you want to find out what their comfort is with risk. You know, are they willing to try new things? Are they willing to challenge the status quo and think differently about things? Because I think that you have to have that drive to think differently about things, think inventively about things in order to truly innovate. If you're comfortable with the status quo, if you're comfortable with how things are going and the results that you're getting, you really will have no driver to do anything different, and ultimately that doing things different is what leads to the innovation. So I think, you know, I would probably tie it back directly to risk taking, because I really think that's at the core of innovation to me.
I'm sorry, my phone has a little bit of issue, and then I'm back again. So I'm glad Brian asked about the innovation, and While we're talking more about innovation, you know, when we innovate, there should be a little bit of audit, right, what is happening in our organization. So, Lars, you talk a little bit about, if you can, talk a little bit about recruiting audit, which is your one of your expertise. What can organizations do, or recruiters or HR professionals out there can do in order to do a best recruiting audit to review their probably their current operations and technologies? What are some points that you would suggest them to check it out?
So I think if you're looking at you know, auditing, it really you have to first look at what matters to that organization, right? And so I think specifically when you're talking about recruiting, is it, you know, is it a high volume environment where you're really just looking to get, you know, people in the door? In that case, you're looking at things like time to fill, you know, maybe source of hire, retention, so that you're not constantly backfilling jobs. I think when you're looking at auditing the results and determining whether you're successful or not, you're going to look at those kind of things. But I don't think that that is the most important measure in all organizations. You know, there are some organizations that look at things like innovation. How do you audit innovation? You know, they claim that's part of their you know, their DNA and who they want to be as an organization, and that is not just limited to, you know, the corporate goals. That's something that they expect from recruiting as well. And how do you audit that, right? That gets a little more complicated. So I think it really depends on the company and the organization and really what they value and what's important to them. Audit it tends to be a heavy word. I like to use words more like, you know, measure, analyze, quantify. You know, audit just has such a compliance feel to me, and maybe this is my, you know, my recruiting, you know, family tree of the HR group that, you know, shies away from the term audit. But I do think you need to measure. You need to measure everything that you're doing, particularly in recruiting, because you need to know how effective it is. And, you know, I'm within the, you know, recruiting group, I'm definitely one of the people that is very focused on employer branding. And when I look at, you know, determining whether those results are and those campaigns are successful or not, I'm looking at things like, you know, channel growth. I'm looking at things like source of applicant and source of hire. You know, time to fill isn't really that important to me, because I think in the organizations where I've worked, it's more about the quality of hire. But I also look more at, in terms of leading recruiting teams, you know, a measure of a recruiter's success to me isn't how many people they've hired. It isn't their time to fill. It isn't any of those kind of, you know, traditional metrics that I think, you know, we look at a lot in recruiting and say these are the gold standard methods. It's if I go to your hiring manager and I ask that hiring manager how you're doing, their answer is going to be great. And, you know, their great is subjective. Maybe it's having 2 interviews per week. Maybe it's 10 interviews per week. But whatever it is they need in that area, you're meeting that need. And if you're meeting that need, and if I'm able to talk with your hiring managers and they tell me you're doing an excellent job, that tells me a lot more than any kind of core time to fill, you know, those types of traditional metrics will tell me. So that tends to be, at least for me, how I go about looking at metrics and how I would go about, you know, auditing the results of a recruiting team.
Well, Lars, I've got one thing to say. You are a freaking genius. So thank you for coming on to lunch with us today. Dude, we're out of time, man. Things roll when you're having a blast, and it's always good to hear your voice and get your insight. Where can folks find out about Amplify and connect with you?
So you can connect with me on Twitter at ThisIsLars. You can actually go to amplifytalent.com, and that has my blog and links to all my other social profiles, LinkedIn, Facebook, whatever. I'm all over there. I'm a social media whore. So I'm easy to find there.
Fair enough.
The two channels you can find me most on are amplifytalent.com and at ThisIsLars on Twitter.
There you go. If you can't find Lars, then you probably need to actually be looking at some form of the device or internet, because that's impossible not to do it. So connect up with him, Lars, again. Nisha, thanks. Have a great day. Everybody have a kick-ass weekend, and we're going to roll out to a little bit of happy.
Thanks for joining us, everyone.